Hey fam, thanks for listening to the Better Man podcast. This season, the podcast is brought to you by Aroga Drive, one of my favorite energy supplements. If you're looking for all-day clean energy that won't let you crash and burn, Drive is the one. Stop pounding the coffee, stop crushing the Red Bulls. Instead, take Aroga Drive one time in the morning and you're good for the rest of the day. Check it out in the show notes or visit arogadrive.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Better Man Podcast. My name's Adam, joined by Chris. Chris, how many weddings do you think you've done? Do you officiate a lot of weddings?
I do.
Yeah?
I do, man.
Do you do the same wedding every time, or are you like rewriting it special for every, like, give us some insider info here.
Yeah, man. So I rewrite it every time.
Come on. That takes a lot of time.
I try not to recycle too much, even like preaching.
Okay.
You know, even with Better Man, when I go on behalf of Better Man, yeah, I'm typically in a new audience in a new place, and I'll say some of the same stuff, but yeah, I love feeding new stuff in there. So probably every marriage sermon I've ever done has been new. Yeah.
That's amazing. I remember sitting there one time, this was years ago, getting ready to preach a message, and I think it was a new message, and waiting for the worship to get done. And before I went up on stage, and I remember my heart being filled with jealousy that the worship leader gets to sing the same songs on repeat over and over again. But yet I got to have something new, right? Like, I was like, this is just injustice. This is crazy that I always got to have something new. So I don't mind hitting repeat on some of that stuff. But you think you've done over 100?
No, I've probably done 30 or 40.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, the coolest one I've ever done. I did one for the Air Force Academy.
Oh,
one for
awesome.
An Air Force Academy grad. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like swords and uniforms. It was amazing.
Yeah. Swords at a wedding. You're winning. If swords show up at your wedding, that is so good. Like, so Game of Thrones, swords. Absolutely. Just showing up at your wedding. Well, we want to talk about marriage today. And it's funny because before we hit record, you said this episode, you know, we want to talk about cornerstone versus capstone marriage. And so I'm a learner. Here I am. I'm sitting at your feet, Chris, because I'm like, I've never heard of those. I mean, I've heard of a cornerstone and I've heard of a capstone course, like in college. It's like the last course you take that covers everything. But I don't know how that applies to marriage. So I'm interested to know what do you mean when you say that, and what's the difference?
Yeah, bro. As always, you're perceptive. It's exactly that.
Yeah.
So prior to about 1975, 78, marriage in our country was viewed as a cornerstone marriage. So marriage was basically the cornerstone of society. A young man would find a young woman. The two would become one. They would buy a starter home and start their life together. And that really was the foundation, not just of communities and churches, but the foundations of cities and states and countries. And then someone at John Hopkins University basically put their hand up and said, well, you know, cornerstone is one way, but let's talk about capstone marriage. Hmm. And it really changed the philosophy of marriage. So a capstone marriage is exactly that. It's the last class. So then the philosophy was, well, you know, let's go to college first. Let's graduate. Let's get a good job. Let's save up some money to have a down payment on a house and then get married.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And that became the dominant philosophy. And it's still today, capstone marriage is the dominant philosophy.
Yep.
So because of that, we're seeing two or three pretty unique trends, man, that are actually quite alarming.
Yeah.
That we probably should at least recognize, if not talk about in more detail.
Okay, that's really good. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense then, because, I mean, in many ways, Chris, I fall into that camp of that capstone, where it was go to school. Well, first of all, get into college, then study, then get a good job, and then get your life in order and all of that. And I remember when I was leading college ministry years ago, doing a message on dating and looking up some of those stats on what is the average age in the United States for a person to get married. And it was, this was years ago, so this may be outdated, but it maybe hasn't changed too much. It was basically 28 and 20, or like 25 and 28, I think, is what it was. So it was late 20s. It was people that were not right in college. And so I fit that. I got married when I was 28 years old. I was like, golly, I'm so average. That makes me feel really bad. and so, yeah, a lot of that was different than my parents, who got married when my dad was 21 and my mom was 19.
That's right.
Right. And so that was very, right. very different, in all of that. So yeah. what are some of the other stats that are out there and maybe some of the implications of this?
Yeah, absolutely. And hear me say, so I was teaching this recently at a seminary, and someone came up to me afterwards and said, is capstone marriage sinful?
And I
said, no, it's not sinful. I said, but you know, for every action, there's a reaction.
Yeah.
And we just need to know that there are some reactions. Yeah. So for example, prior to, 1975, the average marriage age was somewhere between 21, 23 years old. Mm-hmm. It's typically when people got married. Today, it's 31.
It's gone up then, even since when I.
Yes.
Yeah. 31. Yeah.
So in 2024, 31. And you're thinking, well, okay, 23 to 31, quick math, that's an 8-year difference. Is that big of a deal? Well, it is. Mm-hmm. This is why. The average, number of children that a couple has now is 1.8.
Mm.
And that's directly correlated to later marriages, because you're not going to have 4, 5, and 6 kids when you're 52.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Abraham, but I mean, I'm not rocking with that.
Yes. I was in my 30s when I had our kids, and I was just like, this is a young man's game, and I'm not a young man right now with these little ones, and thinking about that. So yeah, there's some practical implications of all that.
I had my last one right before I turned 39.
Okay.
And I remember my buddy, he just kind of sent me a text, and it was like hashtag, like class of 2042 or something. It's like when my son was going to graduate. I'm like, what is happening?
Oh, yes. That'll make you feel bad. So,
yeah. So we're seeing a major decline in the birthing rate.
Yep.
Right. And again, that's probably the most alarming thing, and there are some nations right now, like China is suffering because of this.
Yeah.
And they had even tighter kind of policies, in the day around this. But America is going to start feeling the effects of this, man. The birthing rate is going way down. Another effect of this. So marriage is typically the great maturer in someone's life. So there is nothing that sanctifies me more than my wife and children.
Mm-hmm.
And taking on a wife, taking on a family, implies certain responsibilities, right? It calls you to a different level of maturity and responsibility. So imagine never, or at least prolonging, stepping into that level of maturity.
Yep.
It's cool to live in your parents' basement then a couple more years, or maybe spend an extra 4 hours a day on Call of Duty, yeah. Right? I mean, I don't have a wife to take care of. I don't have children to take care of. So what we're seeing is, young men who at 24, 25, 26 would have embraced this responsibility, they wait to get married at 31 and they don't start embracing it till they're 34, 35, 36.
Yep. Yeah.
And it extends adolescence.
It really does. It really does. And yeah.
You know, for the number of weddings I've done, I've equally done couples counseling, right? Therapy. And I'm telling you, the number one thing I hear is, I thought I married a man when in actuality he's a boy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has some implications. That's good. I remember young 20s living in Atlanta, supporting a couple that was doing college ministry down in Florida at one of the big schools down there. And, on a break, and the family's traveling around the Southeast visiting all their donors. And we went to go get lunch or dinner or something. And I just remember him, we were talking about life, and he was asking me, are you dating anybody? All that kind of stuff. And somehow it came up, and he just looked at me and says, Adam, I mean, no disrespect by this, but I think he was married and had 3 kids at the time. He goes, I have infinitely, more opportunities to deny myself every day than you do. And I just remember being stung by that at first, like, hey, man, watch it, you know? But then he was right. He just was right. And so it didn't mean that I wasn't a faithful follower of Jesus, didn't mean I didn't love Jesus, didn't mean I wasn't trying. Just our circumstances were such that he had a lot more opportunities than I did, just going to work every day and then coming home and, you know, hanging out with my buddies and watching SportsCenter and things like that. So, it delayed, you know, there was some maturing that happened for sure, but it didn't happen at the same trajectory as it did when finally got married.
Absolutely, man. I'm counseling a young man right now. He's 25, 26 years old. Phenomenal young man.
Yeah.
Gifted, talented, handsome man. I mean, he's phenomenal. And he asked me the other day, he's like, what's the best thing I could do? And my response was get married.
Yes.
Because like he's still, you know, the Apostle Paul said, when I became a man, you know, I put away childish things. Mm. Like I stopped acting like a child.
Yeah.
And the reality, not that marriage makes you a man, but it certainly thrust us into manhood.
That's right. That's right.
Like marriage brings a weight.
Yep.
That only a man can carry.
Yeah, that's good.
Right. And when you don't have to carry that weight, it's okay to maybe act a little more like a little boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with this whole capstone marriage philosophy, again, there's some wisdom about going to college, finishing college. There's some wisdom about, you know, saving money. Like, I'm not saying all that's bad or even sinful. I'm not saying it's sinful. I just think we need to recognize that there are also some side effects to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at Better Man, we want to help with that. And so we're using all this as an announcement that we're starting a dating app. And
right.
We're going to help all these single men out there find a great woman. And we'll just get the deal done. Chris and I will do virtual weddings.
Right.
And Chris will write new messages. I'm going to hit repeat on all my old ones. But it'll be legal. It'll be legal. No, that's not the implication.
It's called Better Nights. Better Nights. And
that's good.
It's the greatest first date
that's
you've
right.
ever had.
But it's Nights spelled with a K with a nod to, you know, Robert Lewis with Raising Modern Day Nights. And so that's where we're going to go with all this. So anyway, no.
Every princess is looking for a night.
That's right.
Gosh, Better Nights.
This is for real, man. We got something here.
$19.99 a month.
So let's put our audience in a few categories here. So we've got some men that are married, they've got grandkids, they've been married for a long time. And what we want to say, like what I want to say to those guys is brag about how great it is to be married, right? Let's just not fall into that like cultural weird, oh, I got the ball and chain at home and my kids are whipping me, you know, they beat me down and okay, there's a time and a place to make some jokes like that and do all that. But what young men need to hear or unmarried men need to hear is it's amazing, right? Growth is amazing. Is it hard? Of course, right? Of course it's hard, but all kinds of rewards are on the other side of discomfort often. And so there are a lot of rewards that come with being married and having kids. And so I think for those of us that are married and have been married for a long time, we just need to make sure that when we're around other men, that we are saying great things about what it means to be married. So I think that's one group. Anything else you would say to that group?
Yeah, I would say succinctly, stop complaining about your wife, stop complaining about your kids, and start celebrating
them. That's right.
Publicly, openly celebrating exactly what you said, Adam, just the gift that marriage
That's
is.
That's right. And listen, if you're at a point where you're like, listen, my marriage is a mess and I can't do that yet. Well, great. Then there's hope. Go get some help, right? Go
That's
get
right.
some people to help you with that so that you can get to the point where you're celebrating it. And that may be the call for you in the midst of this. There's some guys, let's say, that are in that 25, like they're out of school. The debt's manageable. They've got a decent income. They're just kind of fearing a commitment or they got some more adventures they want to go on, or something like that. So it's like they're in control and they could probably do something about it, but they're just a little bit shy, or gun shy with that right now. So what would you say to that guy?
Yeah, I would say, be sure you're not being selfish.
There you go.
Right. Because, life is better shared. I mean, if you think a vacation alone to the beach, is fun, wait till you wait till you get to do that with your bride in her new two-piece. It's a lot funner. Trust me. That's
right. Such a great use of the word funner.
And unashamedly using that. Yeah. Yeah. So make sure it's not selfish. And then make the commitment. Like there is such a phobia of commitment. You know, one of the byproducts of capstone marriage is for the first time, and Adam, this is intense, but for the first time in the history of histories, we have more people living together, not married, than married. Mm. So cohabitation is a direct byproduct of capstone marriage, of waiting.
That's right.
Right. And cohabitation, you know, I think I've shared before on the show, is like a temporary tattoo. It's the appearance of commitment without the responsibility, without the real effort.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that, man. So don't be lazy. Certainly don't be taking advantage of women. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I would say, man, if you're in a place where you're confident in who you are in Christ, you know, you have some means, and find a wife.
Yeah.
Unless you're that rare cat that's been called to be single. Mm-hmm. And you know, ask more mature believers, ask people you trust, is that me?
Yep.
And there'll be signs for that. Yeah. But the reality is it's probably not you. Mm. The greatest platform for ministry you're going to have is your marriage. It's going to be the children that you have. My encouragement to you is get married, start having babies. Yep. We got to win this thing.
That's right. Yeah. I remember in seminary, you know, learning about the increase of the other faiths around the world, and was thinking, oh man, they are beating us at evangelism, their version of evangelism. And then come to find out it's primarily birth rate to just go, 100%. No, they're just having more kids. And so that's why they're able to do that. And for some reason that really encouraged my heart to go, oh, I'm doing something to help the cause of Christ around the world by procreating, right? And having kids and things like that. And so, that's great for that guy. Yeah. I mean, I would echo that there's something about commitment. And so as a young single guy, I would pray for growth, right? Like, God, keep growing me, keep growing me, keep growing me. He answered that on December 23rd and, 2003 when I got married. Right. So there was growth that was happening, but it was like the ultimate answer to that prayer. And there's been now 20 years of just nonstop growth as a part of doing that. So that there's, but again, it's great. There's going to be that reward on that other side of some discomfort with it, because marriage is hard, and we grow through that. So let's talk to the high school kid, college kid that is like, okay, this is interesting to hear, because I think that may be where you can really start to reform some vision. Right now is with the high school and college kids. And it's interesting because Jackie and I are having those conversations with my 15-year-old and starting to give our boys a vision of not later, like maybe now, like sometime sooner, that you could do that and start to experience that growth, and just trying to give them a different picture of it, because that was not the picture that was painted for me. The picture that was painted for me was get that job, get that school debt paid off, get enough saved up. You know, it was very much late 20s. So what would you say to that high school kid, that college kid that's listening right now?
You know, my first thought is the habits that you're forming right now, you're going to bring into your marriage. Mm. So it's not like all of a sudden you get married and you get to wipe the slate clean.
Yeah.
And start from zero. No, you're probably forming some poor habits, and you're going to start at negative 15. Mm. So just be mindful. Like if you're not daily praying right now, then you're not going to daily pray with your wife.
That's good.
If you're not daily in the Word of God right now, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to get married and then start daily being in the Word of God with your wife. Like those habits are formed long before marriage.
Yep.
So especially on the spiritual side, even on the physical side, right? Like if you're not eating healthy, like it's not like marriage is the answer to eating healthy. Mm-hmm. Right? So like physically, emotionally, if your emotional intelligence is low, marriage isn't going to increase that. As a matter of fact, it's going to be harmful, and it's going to cause problems further down the line, because you're bringing a low EQ into the marriage.
That's right. Yeah.
So as a young gun, man, physically, emotionally, spiritually, man, I hope you're forming good habits now so that that you do get to start at zero, or maybe even in positive, yeah. right? You're starting at a 10 when you get married, and you have a shorter way to go than I did.
That's so good. Yeah.
Baggage.
Gosh, that is gold right there. And it makes me think of something our buddy Jonathan Pakluta says often. I know I heard him say it a lot when he was leading the porch back in the day. Like, there's no such thing as married people problems. It is single person problems that you bring into marriage, right? That is all it is. It's your selfishness, your pride, all of that that you brought in. It's not like, I would have never dealt with this had I not been married. It's nothing unique. It's just people trying to live together with all that. So yeah. And maybe
yeah, the marriage magnifies it.
Oh, that's all it does. Yeah. That's all it does.
Typically it's like a magnifying glass, man. Yeah. That it's crazy.
Yeah. But to take our own advice, right? That is to be celebrated, that gets magnified so that you can work on it and get that, you know, get that sanded down into change, right? And to grow and to feel the progress that is happening as you are becoming a better man through the means of that. And you're doing your little part to impact the world in a positive way. So
Adam, I know you would agree with this, man. Like, you know, we're a part of Better Man. It's a successful ministry on all fronts. You're a gifted communicator. You're a gifted writer. Your stuff on leadership is phenomenal. But if someone was to put a mic in your face, as if they were to put a mic in my face and ask me, man, what's your most successful ministry or what's your most influential ministry? We would both say it's our marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's the biggest platform God has given me. It's not Better Man.
Right.
It's the day in, day out, my children seeing how I'm loving my wife, serving my wife, dying to myself so that, you know, I can consider my wife's needs more important than my own. It's my church seeing that. It's my community seeing that. Marriage by far is the greatest ministry opportunity I have, man. I'm so grateful for it.
It is. Well, that's a great way to end, Chris. Again, great conversation. There's no link to that app. We're not starting that app, just to be clear. There's no dating service.
Not yet.
Okay, well, not yet. You're saying there's a chance. I like it. You're saying there's a chance. All right, Chris, as always, great to be with you, friend.
Later, bro.
Hey, brothers, if we want to finish strong, we need to start strong. And I can't think of a better way to start your day than with some encouragement from God's Word. That's what Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional, is all about. Start your morning with Better Mornings and be the man God has called you to be. Check out the link in the show notes or visit betterman.com/resources and sign up for Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional.